Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today is our live prophecy reality edition. And if you're listening live on a Wednesday morning, come on over to the FirstAmendmentRadio.net chat room and join us there. There's a small screen because we have the studio cam on. And you can see my face and any exhibits I might put on the screen there. And join us in the chat room. I would like to see you here. Today we have we're gonna look at futurism and historicism a little bit more, and more specifically, we're gonna look at historicism. And I've realized one thing by looking for a home church in the locality where I'm at, near the foothills of the southern Sierra Nevadas in California. Well, I don't really believe that I can find one true Protestant church. Now, there's many that are Protestant in name only. What do they call us? Protestant Pinos, huh? Protestant in name only, but they're protesting nothing. There is no protest there at all. They don't understand history. They've forgotten all about it because they've learned futurism. And futurism keeps you focused on the future and it forgets all about history. So I wanted to get into a little bit of history today and talk a little bit more about Daniel's 70th week and the understanding from the first century. Was primarily that Daniel's 70th week was fulfilled in the first century, completely by 70 AD. That's right. The entire prophecy, every jot and tittle of it was of the entire four verses of the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy. That's Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And in our second segment, that is in our second hour, we're going to jump back into history unveiling prophecy or time as an interpreter. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Don't want to miss that. It will be part 21. And I did want to share a little bit from that book to begin the broadcast, to open up our discussion and show you that the understanding of futurism was just invented. The understanding that has developed into the view that most people hold today was just invented about the time of Sir Isaac Newton and other reformers and historicists, believers in God's Word. And I'm looking at page 90 from History Unveiling Prophecy, and it says, Sir Isaac Newton's observations on the prophecies of Daniel and the Revelation was the outcome of many years of study, his attention having been turned to the subject as early as 1691. While his work was not published till 42 years later, in 1733, the exalted genius of Sir Isaac Newton, of his mathematical, scientific, historical, and chronological researches, it is needless to speak. His skillful tracing of the most intricate subjects, accuracy of statement, clearness of demonstration, and far-reaching comprehensiveness of view have never been surpassed. In their acceptance of the historical interpretation of the Revelation, and in the general outline of their views, Vitringa, Dabus, and Newton were in agreement. And so these were three commentators on the Revelation during the 1600s and 1700s. That's the 17th and 18th century. They were in agreement. They held that history was the true interpreter of prophecy. As a matter of fact, that's who coined the phrase, time is the interpreter. And that's where the author got his subtitle for the book, History Unveiling Prophecy, or Time as an Interpreter. He got that as a quote from Sir Isaac Newton. They held that history was the true interpreter of prophecy. They held that the seals, listen carefully, the trumpets, and the vials of the revelation portrayed the course of Christian history from the time of St. John down to the consummation. And where did they get this idea? Well, they got this idea from the Bible itself. And you can check this out for yourself. See, because remember, before Christ, Israel was the church of God on earth. It was the visible church of God. As a matter of fact, Paul refers to it as the church in the wilderness during their wilderness sojourn. But national Israel was the visible church on earth. And if you read the Old Testament prophecies, what were they all about? They were all about God's people or his visible church on earth. Actually, going and the entire Old Testament recounts the history of God's people from Adam and Eve all the way up until Christ. And it talks about no other thing. So it's only fitting that New Testament and New Testament prophecy is about one thing, and that is the same thing, God's visible church on earth. Understood. They held that history was the true interpreter prophecy. They held that the seals, the trumpets, and the vials of the revelation portrayed the course of Christian history from the time of St. John down to the consummation. They regarded the Church of Rome as Babylon the Great. They interpreted the beast's power in its three successive apocalyptic forms, under its crowned heads, under its crowned horns, and as bearing and then casting off the harlot of Babylon as the Roman Empire. First, as united under its chiefly pagan rulers, then as divided under its Gothic kings, and lastly as submitting to, and then casting off, and warring against the corrupt and guilty Church of Rome. We have seen this in history. They saw it in history. To them, the martyrs of the Revelation were the Christian martyrs who had suffered under pagan and papal persecution, and its witnesses, the witnessing saints of medieval and Reformation days. Their interpretations involved the rejection alike of the preterist view, which confines the fulfillment of the Revelation to the Neronic period in the first century, the futurist view, which relegates its fulfillment to an imaginary, still future period, some brief crisis at the close of Christian dispensation, as erroneous and contrary to the testimony of history and of Holy Writ. As to unfulfilled prophecy, Sir Isaac Newton, who avoided speculation both in science and theology, wisely said, "Let time be the interpreter." Is that what the futurists say? Do they say, "Let time be the interpreter"? No, they say, "We have the interpretation. As a matter of fact, we are so convinced that our prognostication of the future is correct that we're even going to change God's word to conform to it." And that is exactly what they have done. And I talk about that a little bit in my book, When the Third Temple is Built, and my first book on prophecy, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. I talk about how they've changed the New English versions to say something completely different about Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. Let time be the interpreter. Wise words. And if you let time be the interpreter, the revelation can bring you up to date, up to the very day that we're living in. And the things that have happened up until this date. There's still a certain amount of speculation about the future. to see how it all fits together exactly, to identify the characters. Well, I believe we've already have all, we're at the point in prophecy and history together where we've already identified all the characters. So they're already identified by history itself. We have let time be the interpreter. How great is the contrast, continuing here, how great is the contrast between such interpreters of prophecy and the futurists of modern times? The interpreters who have forgotten history and have rudely broken with the traditional interpretation of the past 18 centuries. The fact that Rome has lost her persecuting power and that infidelity looms largely in these modern days as the opponent of the revelation. And by infidelity, he means paganism, humanism, and idolatry, and of course, infidelity. All of those things are incorporated into what our author is saying here. That infidelity looms larger in these modern days as the opponent of the revelation. And it does. Look around you still today, to this very day. What is infidelity? Well, it's all of this transgenderism and homosexual rights. And, and it goes on and on. Adultery is common. People living together in fornication in these modern days as the opponent of the revelation. So it is the prime opponent of revelation, of, and speaking of revelation, I'm not just talking about the book of Revelation, but the entire Word of God is the revelation of God. They hate God's Word. They hate the revelation of God, which is His entire Word, and not specifically the opponent. I mean, they are not specifically opponent of the book of Revelation, though that is included. Explains in some degree, though it does not justify, the abandonment of the traditional interpretation of the revelation. To forsake the sober historical interpretation, see, and it's sober because history is the interpreter, time is the interpreter, the facts of history are the interpreter of the revelation, rather than speculation being our interpretation and conjecture to support our speculation, or just making stuff up like gaps. You just make up a gap. We'll make it work if we can put a gap anywhere we need one, and we can fill that gap with whatever we want. To forsake the sober historical interpretation of that sacred prophecy and substitute for it invented and imaginary fulfillment to take place at some future time is unworthy of a rational and reverent mind. Instead of speculating uncertainly or even wildly on what is to be, let the modern student of prophecy turn his attention to what has been and what is. Let him soberly compare the indisputable facts of history with mysterious predictions in God's holy word. For in such a comparison, if anywhere, the truth on the subject is to be found. What say you? Well, I say amen to those words. And you'll find that's in this book, History Unveiling Prophecy. And you can get that at my website by going to the Get the Book page, scroll down, and I'll have it posted there particularly later on, as soon as I get it into publication. But you can buy a copy right now. There's a link at the bottom of my Get the Book page. It says low cost pocketbook editions there. And if you hit that link, it will be prominently at the top. History Unveiling Prophecy, or Time as an Interpreter. Yeah, I would wait another week, because we're about to publish it after a review, just about ready for it to go into distribution. So the final edits will be done. But you can get a copy, a PDF version, by asking for it in the free ebook tab there at my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, whatever's easier for you. Okay, and speaking of, let's see, what is it called? What does he call it? Unworthy and of rational and reverent mind, speculating uncertainty or even wildly. And we've talked about that. We talked about September 23rd, and I told you earlier this year in January, if you go back and I told you that it was a lot of nonsense, that there was nothing to it, that you don't interpret God's word astronomically or astrologically or however they interpreted it to make it an alignment of the stars. That's not the way. The revelation is not an astronomy book, and prophecy is not basic. And so what? You know, they conjecture that the wise men followed the stars and found the baby Jesus. Therefore, we can apply astronomy to the revelation. See, that's called conjecture. That's wild speculation. And that's how they came about with this September 23rd thing. And then there was another guy. He sent me some emails and this something, the bride thing, ordering the bride or something like that, getting the bride ready website. And he even has a website, it's called October 5th, 2017. And he was wildly letting everyone know in the weeks and months and the year before October 5th that Jesus was coming. October 5th, and he had it down to the hour sometime UTC on October 25th and on and on. And he sent me a follow-up email. That's interesting. And I'll show you the follow-up email here. And we'll put it on the screen here, and you can see this guy's Daniel Berglund, and he's the owner of this website, I'm guessing, October 5th, 2017. And he says, just in case you did not get this yet, well, you know, we were supposed to be raptured on October 5th. And of course, we shouldn't have got it. Maybe we got raptured and he didn't, huh? He says, read here. And so he's doing catch up. This is kind of like the great disappointment. So I click on his link and his basic argument, you know, the woman that was about to give birth and Revelation 12, well, he's going, the woman is still pregnant. That's why the rapture didn't happen. Oh, why didn't I see that when I read the revelation and the alignment of the astronomical alignment of the stars? Why didn't I see that she was still pregnant? Oh, that's where I got it wrong, I guess. And he said, it's October 7th. We are still here. Let me see if I get all that on the screen for you. Whoops. Okay, it says, it's October 7th, and we are still here. The rapture did not happen on October 5th, 2017. I assumed that the whole moon of Revelation 6:12 was the full moon of October 5th, 2017. I was wrong. I apologize. Well, at least there's one that apologizes to you, you know, for... I mean, this guy has a lot of followers. I went to his website and he's getting, you know, I mean, just, you know, thousands of comments. I mean, he's got a lot more attention than I do. What, is that what I have to do to get people to pay attention to me? Just make stuff up? But, oh, I'm sure he was sincere in applying astronomy to the revelation rather than going with history and the historical interpretation. Let's continue reading what he says here. I want to give you, he doesn't quit, he doesn't repent of his wild speculation. He just says, oh, I got it wrong, understand me now. He says, I apologize, but here I apologize? Well, that's not a repentance, it's an apology. He says, so now what? Now I stand aside and let Yahshua, Jesus, teach you and let you be the judge. I will ask questions, Yahshua will provide his word. You will decide what you believe. What? What kind of teacher is this? You know, he's going to ask the question and then he's going to put something from the scripture in there that he believes is the answer, and he's going to tell you that it's Yahshua's word. But that's what he did in the first place. He asked the questions, and he went to the word, and he put the answer. He picked it out of the word, the answer that he wanted in there for his question. This is not how you interpret the revelation. Take the words that I read from History Unveiling, Prophecy, from Sir Isaac Newton, and others of the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. All historicists take their word for it. Time as an interpreter. Consider what has been and what is, and apply that to your interpretation. Do not speculate about the future. And, you know, fortunately, I can say we're at a time where all of the characters have been identified. We talked last week about who is the false prophet. I believe it's finally revealed. I believe that when the time comes, that we don't see a lot of things until the time comes for the revealing of those. And this false prophet that's cast into the lake of fire, this false prophet that has one of those spirits of demons like frogs coming out of its mouth to seduce the world, to gather together the forces of the ungodly for that great day of the battle of God Almighty, that's the age we're in. So this is the age where God would reveal who exactly is the false prophet. But it's none other than the man of sin. It's the same character. But it's him after they were punished. After the whore, the one that ruled over the nations of the earth, was punished. The one that persecuted the saints of God. After it lost its temporal power, it is still at work in the world. It is now the false prophet stage, where it is croaking, and it has been croaking, and its Jesuits are croaking, and all of its adherents are croaking loudly. As a matter of fact, they croak so loudly that they have under their spell the majority of what is called the visible church on earth. The Catholic Church has more than 2 billion adherents on the planet. That's right. That's a majority of the visible church. See, no different than national Israel and its majority when it was the visible church on earth. Most of it, the majority of it, was apostate because they followed the leaders of the majority, which were the scribes and Pharisees of their day. And today it is the Roman Church and her priests and popes and cardinals and bishops that are the scribes and Pharisees of the church, or the Israel of God today. We'll be back in a few minutes. The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone. Absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And if you're listening live on Wednesday morning, I thank you for joining the chat room. It looks like most people have taken the day off, though. The chat room is, almost empty. Perhaps I should have taken the day off. I didn't know it was a holiday. I thought that was the Catholic holiday was Monday, Columbus Day. Yeah, that one. That's pretty much a Catholic holiday, I think. Or at least a Roman holiday. But we won't go there. We'll let someone else go there. Yes, indeed. And some people changed it to Indigenous Peoples Day or Native American Day or something. Had a get-together on my ranch here this weekend, and all of you were invited, but none of you came. But some local people came, and some of my family. And someone mentioned to me, it was Native American Day. They didn't say Columbus Day, but that's it. They're replacing Columbus with Native American Day. And I said, wow, great. I have a holiday. Yeah, I have a holiday because I'm a Native American. This is the land of my nativity. I was born here. So, with all of those natives who came before me that were also born here, let's have a holiday. Let's celebrate. Okay, enough of that kind of fun. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. I'd like you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org. It's a WordPress blog, Nicholas Arthur, N-I-C-K-L-A-S, Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R. At .wordpress.com or just crosstheborder.org will get you there. And that's C-R-O-S-S, not crossed as in past tense, but crosstheborder.org. And make sure you subscribe. In the upper left-hand corner, it'll say subscribe to this blog with your email address or something like that. Go ahead and do it. I will not share your email address with anybody. I promise. Okay? And then you'll get a notification like every week when I'm going to do this show about a half hour before the broadcast. I send out a post saying, tune in. We're about to go live in 30 minutes or something like that. And to notify you that we're going to have an immediate live broadcast. And you can join us. And that way there'll be more people in the chat room perhaps than there are. Also, there's a support button right below where you follow. So if you're just subscribing for the first time, I don't expect you to support me. But for those long-time listeners, press the support button and maybe move some of your tithes, say, from what's that guy's name that wrote The Late Great Planet Earth? Yeah, stop giving him money, okay? And the 700 Club. And True News and all of these futurists, stop giving them money and send the money to me instead. You know, take that part of your tithe that you're giving or offerings or whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to invest in God's kingdom, is that's really what it's about. It's not a legal issue. It's because you love God and you want to invest in his kingdom. You don't want to get in the resurrection and so God go, well, here, I got a closet for you. You know, this is your investment. I'm just kidding. Okay. I don't know how all that works. If I'm going to get a bigger place for my investment, I really don't care. I just want to make it there, you know, but you should invest in God's kingdom. I think it's important because the more you invest, the less likely you are to abandon your investment. And Jesus said, you know, take his word for it. He said, store up your treasure in heaven where neither moth nor dust corrupts, neither can men break through and steal. Because of all your treasures on this earth, see, the whole thing is you're going to lose it all. So what you labor for, store it up in God's kingdom. And support whoever he tells you to support. I mean, if he tells you to support that other guy that wrote the late great Planet Earth, well, you know, I don't know if he would actually do that or not, but you could mistakenly believe he's asking you to do that. But it would be unlikely because he's still spouting the same false prophecy that we are trying to overcome here in the remnant church. Okay, so anyway, the support button's there. And there's a lot of articles trending now and all that stuff. Flat Earth is still trending. And there's a lot of people out there believing the Flat Earth. And, you know, it's easy to become deceived on things like that. And I can understand that because people talk you into things and their arguments sound so good. And they really do sound good that you go, well, you know, I can't really tell if the Earth is flat or not. Look, their arguments are compelling, so maybe it is flat. And I don't like to go with the crowd because, you know, I'm somewhat iconoclastic in my bent. And so if I can go against the crowd and believe in a flat Earth and maybe it really is true, I'd like to believe it or whatever. And people believe it, but it's not true. The Bible doesn't support it at all. And I got a posting on my website all about that. So you might want to check that out. It's called Flat Earth or Spherical Earth. What does the Bible say? That's trending. And it's a very popular article on my website. And another second most popular article on my website is, and it's second trending now, always up there in the top, is The Empire of the City, the Unholy Trinity that Rules the World. It gives you a little insight into how the Antichrist rules the world since his great fall from his temporal reign of the world, about the French Revolution and leading up to his total loss of temporal power about 1870. But that's all history. And you can read all about that in books like History Unveiling Prophecy or The Last Prophecy, Horae Apocalyptic A215. All those books are available at my website. So you need to, you know, unlearn and re-educate yourself in true understanding and interpretation of prophecy. Let time be the interpreter. And these books can help you out because you probably didn't learn much about true history in your public school or in your church. I can pretty much say that's the fact. Okay, well, let me check on the chat room here and see if we got any comments, questions, your phone calls. Let's see. Why would they drain at all if they were flat? CCM. Good to see you there, Christopher Charles, in the chat room. Sometimes he comes in after the show and goes, oh, shucks, I missed it. How do you do that? Well, I guess it's easy to do. And the question is today, WW is always here. So this is an exception. So I'm sure WW has a good excuse for not showing up in the chat room. And that would be Thomas over on the other coast. I think West Virginia or South Carolina, one of those on the coast over there. Is it West or South something? Whatever. Yeah, on the south coast of the United States over there somewhere. I've been over there once in my life and saw the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, never went back for some reason. And Charles R. is in the room. That's the fireman Mike, who's probably listening, as he was in, but it quit. And Mr. T. is in there. It's good to have you in the room, Mr. T. Or is it Dottie? It could be a ma'am. Maybe her name is Dottie. I don't know, because there's a dot T. Okay. I'm just guessing here, because sometimes you just have to guess. So anyone, call in, comments, questions. I'm going to jump into, if the earth is curved, then the canals would drain from the middle. Yeah, that's called stand-up comedy, you know? Here's the fact. Here's how you know. See, because all of these arguments are, I'm going to give you a clue real quickly that anyone can understand, that you cannot use visual arguments to determine whether the earth is flat or spherical. See, what you do is you get on a hill in the middle of the desert. You can do this in your imagination too. And you get one of these swivel chairs like I have here, see? And you put it right on the top of the hill. And you look out at the horizon, it looks flat. Now you swivel all the way around and you do a 360. And guess what? It looks flat all the way around. So because it looks flat, is the earth flat? No. Because whether the earth is a sphere or flat, it looks the same. And perspective makes the horizon rise, because things, as they get further away, there's kind of a tunnel effect that they come together at a vanishing point. So you cannot determine whether the earth is flat or spherical by observation of the horizon. Does that make sense? Okay, that's the only clue I'm giving you today. You can go and watch that video. Read the posting on my website at crosstheborder.org. And it's right there in the trending, flat earth or spherical earth, what does the Bible say? Let's hear Nicholas's fudge answer. Well, I don't know what a fudge answer is, but did I say what I said makes sense to anyone? I mean, it has to make sense. You have to agree with that, or you're deceiving yourself and others. You cannot determine by visual perception whether the earth is flat or not, by visual perception of the horizon. So we'll just throw all those horizon arguments out. Now, watching the sunset, it might be a clue there. Watching ships disappear over the horizon might be a clue there. Looking across Lake Michigan and only seeing the tops of the buildings over the water might be a clue there. I watched that video, so I'm guessing Dot T is a flat earth proponent. Okay, well, it's a secondary issue. Whether the earth is flat or not, we'll all find out when Jesus returns. Me, I'm going to agree with with the Bible. And it definitely says that the earth is not flat. It doesn't say flat and earth anywhere in the Bible together. Anyway, we're going to get off that. I really hate the topic, because people want to divide over it so quickly. Let's bring up Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And let's just go through it and see if we can make some common sense out of it. Okay. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now you're going to remember, context is everything. The angel was sent by God, and he's speaking to Daniel. That's right, Daniel. Now this is like how many years before, 500 years before Christ. This is, you know, about, not giving you exact dates, about 500 years BC, this angel is speaking to Daniel. Israel is in dispersion now. They've been taken captive. They're in captivity. They were taken captive to Babylon. And Daniel is in Babylon. Okay? That's the setting. About 500 BC. It's during the 7 years, 7 years captivity period, where they're taken captive for 7 years. And the angel says to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Okay? Now, all of these things are going to happen in 70 weeks, have been determined to do these things. He says, know therefore and understand. Now he's speaking to Daniel, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now he's talking, there's going to be a commandment, Daniel, to restore and to build Jerusalem. And he says, this is how you'll know the commandment. Because the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So when this happens, you'll know. See, because when this commandment went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, the temple is already built. But at the time Daniel's getting this prophecy, the temple has not been built yet. Okay. And it says, and after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, if we're using history to understand prophecy, then we understand this plainly by the words that are written. One, 7 weeks and 62 weeks is 69 weeks. Total. And the commandment went forth in 400, and that's total 483 years. And it says after the 483 years, after the 62 weeks, which comes after the 7 weeks, okay? Shall Messiah be cut off? But it says, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So they're looking for the Messiah to show up. That's why, you know, Andrew was looking for his brother Simon, and he found him. What did he say to him? We found the Messiah. And then I think it was one of the other disciples went to find his brother, and he told him, we found the Messiah whom all the prophets and of Israel did and the law did speak. We found him. See, because they were looking for him. Why were they looking for him? Because the 69 weeks had come to pass. So they knew the Messiah was going to show up in that year. Because it was from the year to the year. It didn't give them an exact day and hour, but it did give them the year that the Messiah would show up. That's why they were looking for him. Because they were like us. They were concerned about prophecy. And I know if I was living in those days with the mind of towards God's word and prophecy that I have now, that I would be looking for him too. So after 62 weeks, now this is what's going to happen after the Messiah shows up. After the 62 weeks, after the 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince, after he shows up, he shall be cut off, it says. And it doesn't say exactly on the day that he shows up he's going to be cut off. That would be illogical. Okay? But it says, only says after. That only means, that means any time after. But it just so happened that it coincided that he was cut off 3.5 years after he showed up in the midst of the week. But not for himself, and the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And we know that happened, not in the 70 weeks, but it did happen after. See, everything in Daniel 9:26 happens after the 69 weeks, after the Messiah shows up. He's going to be cut off, and then the city's going to be destroyed, the flood, meaning that it's going to be a military conquest because the symbol of the flood is used to symbolize a military conquest that is quick and complete, like a flood. Well, you can see the flood coming at some times, but when it comes, it's complete, and the overthrow is done, and Israel as a nation was completely obliterated, and the people will disperse. As like Jesus said, they will kill you with the sword, or they will sell you as a slave into the nations. That's why he told his people, his followers, to flee Jerusalem, and he gave them, well, God gave them 40 years to do it from his crucifixion, from 30 AD to 70 AD when the flood finally came. It says the end thereof shall be with a flood. So that flood appeared in about 70 AD. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm the covenant with many. Now, who is he in the text here? He is the only first person antecedent in the text. Has to be. It can't be anyone else. We can't break the rules of grammar here. That's why they changed the New English versions. And I go through that in my book. I have in my book, When the Third Temple is Built. So you want to get a copy of that. It's free, or you can buy a copy. Doesn't matter to me. Just get the information in your brain and understand the true interpretation, the historical interpretation, which the Holy Spirit has revealed to his church throughout history. See, because you get a new interpretation, well, what, the Holy Spirit didn't understand that 500 years ago? Why didn't he show it to them then? Why didn't he show it to the early church? Why did they believe at the overthrow of paganism that Revelation chapter 12 was being fulfilled in their day? Because it was. It was a historical. They said, oh, look, this fits. This is what has been and what is. And look, here it is in the prophecy. So they understood the symbology of chapter 12 being fulfilled with the overthrow of paganism in the Roman Empire and the exaltation of Christianity. Of course, it was corrupted, but the church finally, the Christianity finally was not a crime to be a Christian. You would not be killed. So there was the elevation of Christianity. And that was the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12 in history. And even Constantine, who was a part of that overthrow of paganism by Christianity, even commemorated the event by coining a coin of the red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns on a coin being overthrown and underfoot of the cross on a Roman coin to commemorate the fulfillment of that prophecy in history. Talk about leaving a marker in history so that God's people understand that the revelation is an unfolding revelation, as just as surely as the Old Testament is a book of history. Even the Gospels are a book of the history of the early church, of the time that the revelation of Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth. We have a history of a period of time there. It's history from the book of Genesis to the Gospels. So the book of Revelation, just like Daniel, is a continuation. In Daniel, you see prefigured many of the symbols that are used in the Revelation. The continuity is clear and evident that it is a continuing prophecy. Daniel saw part of the Revelation looking forward. The Revelation is a completion of that. They're tied together. They saw the same visions. They saw the same beasts, both Daniel and John in the Revelation. So we see, and he shall confirm the covenant with many. He is the only first person antecedent in the entire text of the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy. He. Look for he. There's only one first person antecedent, he, in the text, and that is Messiah the Prince. And after 72 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Verse 26. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. He is the he in the prophecy to anoint the most holy. Perhaps, a first person who is the most holy. Not specifically a person, but the Messiah is. Now the King James Version translators, they understand who the Messiah was, who the he was, who this anointed one was from the original language. And they wrote it in the text for us. Okay, you're listening to Prophecy Reality. And next segment, next hour, we're going to jump back into History Unveiling Prophecy, Part 21. May the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.